puts me back in Manitoba many moons ago.
It's time now for Abandoned Manitoba, where we say hello once again to Gordon Goldsboro from the Manitoba Historical Society. Good morning, Gordon.
Good morning, Chanelie.
So what are we talking about this week?
Well, the city of Winnipeg recently marked its 150th anniversary of incorporation. It's probably a coincidence, but a few weeks ago, my organization, the Manitoba Historical Society, was asked by city representatives to give them suggestions about historic buildings that the municipal government could add to its list of officially designated historic structures. Well, we gave them 10 suggestions, and I thought we could share this list with our listeners today.
Looking forward to hearing that list. But first, I'm wondering, how long has the city designated historic buildings?
The process started in 1977. That's when the city passed a bylaw to recognize historically significant structures, both private and public ones, within the city limits. And at present, Winnipeg contains 358 designated buildings. The oldest was built in 1874, just after the city was incorporated. The youngest was in 1967.
What is the process for designation?
Well, candidates for designation are evaluated by the city's Historical Buildings and Resources Committee. That committee is chaired by a city councillor with representatives from various organizations, architects, landscape architects, engineers. There are also federal and provincial heritage departments represented on the committee, as well as members of the general public. An historian who is attached to the committee prepares a comprehensive report on a candidate building's architecture and its history. After reviewing all available information, sometimes including a visit to the building itself, the committee rates it according to specific criteria. And if the rating is higher than a particular threshold, the building is recommended to the City Council for designation. Now, city councillors may or may not accept the committee's recommendation.
And why would they not?
Political considerations are taken into account in the decision, including the views of the neighborhood as well as the building owners. If the city council chooses to designate a building, that building cannot be demolished or altered in a way that diminishes its historical character without permission of the city of Winnipeg. And as a result, owners often oppose designation.
Okay, Gordon, so let's now take a look at your top 10 candidates for designation.
Okay, well, they're listed in alphabetical order, not in any order of priority. And the first one is a little building called the Cohen Terrace. It's located on Arnold Avenue in the Lord Roberts area. This two-story residential building was constructed in 1914. We propose it for designation because it's a rare surviving example of what's called the terrace type of multifamily residences that were common around Winnipeg in the late 19th and early 20th centuries.
I know that building really well, actually, because I'm familiar with the Lord Roberts neighborhood.
Ah.
Yeah, and I'm surprised to hear you say about it because I didn't actually think anything significant of it.
Well, that's the thing. It doesn't have to be something grand-looking. It's more the concept underlying the building that we think is important. And because it's an example of a very rare architectural form, that's why we think it deserves consideration.
Okay, what's next on your list?
Something called the Craig Block. It's on Main Street just north of the underpass near Higgins. In 1922, the main floor of this two-story building, which, by the way, was constructed in 1894, was occupied by something called the Order of Sleeping Car Porters. That's believed to be North America's first black labor union. We propose the building for designation due to its significance in the struggle for human rights by Manitoba's black community.
And that's really interesting because Winnipeg has such a history with black porters.
Absolutely. And I think, again, it's not so much the building itself as the role that it has played through the years.
And what's next?
Is the Hindu Society of Manitoba Temple on Ellis Avenue in the West End. This one-story building on Ellis was built in 1950, and it became Manitoba's first Hindu temple in 1979. We propose it for designation as a symbol of Winnipeg's growing multiculturalism.
I didn't know that.
Indeed.
Yeah. What's after that?
Well, we carry on with the accommodation theme with the North Panama Apartments on McRae Avenue in the St. John's area. This is a three-story apartment block constructed in 1914, and it was designed to accommodate Winnipeg's exploding population just before the First World War. We propose it for designation as an example of the many fine apartment blocks around Winnipeg that date from the early 20th century.
Oh, interesting. And your next one is another building as well, a telephone exchange building.
Yeah. You know, we aren't just looking at buildings that are occupied by people, you know, as living space. We want ones, for example, that illustrate the utilities of Manitoba, too. So in River Heights, on Niagara Street, there is a one-story building constructed in 1929. It was the first suburban telephone exchange. That's the idea, is that they could link one person making a call with the person receiving the call. And what's notable about this building, it was designed from the ground up for automated dialing. In other words, you didn't have to ask an operator to connect you. So this means then that it's a really significant event in the ultimate development of the telephone infrastructure in Manitoba. And what's particularly neat about this building is that it's still used for its original purpose.
That's really cool.
Mm-hmm.
And so next, we're looking at a grocery store.
Right. You know, I mean, grocery stores are essential. And we think that the event that took place in 1929, the arrival of the Safeway grocery chain, was pretty significant. You know, most of the original Safeway stores that were built at that time still stand, but many of them have been turned for other purposes. So we propose the Safeway store on St. Matthews Avenue in the West End for designation because, well, it's not a Safeway anymore, but it is still a neighborhood grocery store. And we think that's pretty neat.
That is neat. And I never looked at Safeway in that light. So Looking at grocery stores differently now.
Absolutely.
What's next?
The Winter Vault in the Transcona Cemetery over on Dugald Road. You know, at one time, most of the cemeteries in Manitoba had a vault. And the idea was that during the winter, when it wasn't possible to dig graves in frozen ground, they would store people there waiting for the ground to thaw, and then they would carry on the burial. This winter vault is one of only three remaining in the province, and therefore we think it's pretty significant as a way of reminding us of how we used to deal with the dead.
I've heard of such places, but I guess I never thought of them in real life. That's really neat.
It's a practical thing we had to take care of, and we don't tend to think of that so much anymore because we have the technology to do it any time of the year.
Yeah, absolutely. What's next?
The Union Bank building on Selkirk Avenue. It's a two-story building from 1917 that was built as a branch for the Union Bank of Canada. Probably won't ring any bells with listeners, but that was the first national bank to locate its corporate headquarters here in Winnipeg in 1912. This is just one of four surviving branches of the Union Bank in the city, and therefore we think it deserves consideration for designation.
There's so many historical things in here, so many firsts.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's just it. We purposely chose themes, and we were looking for themes that perhaps were a little unusual in some way.
What's next on your list?
Well, here's a particularly unusual one. It's not even really a building per se. It's more like a structure. The former Union Stockyards Water Tower on Marion in St. Boniface. The Union Stockyards, as some of our listeners may know, goes back to the early 20th century. In fact, 100 years ago, 1913, it became the largest meat processing facility in the entire British Empire. It was enormous, and it was a major economic driver in Manitoba, and therefore we think it deserves some sort of municipal designation of that last remaining vestige, the 90-foot-high water tower.
What's the last entry on your list?
Well, again, we come back to utilities, a different one this time. This is the Winnipeg Hydro Substation number 5 on Scotland Avenue in Fort Rouge. It's a modest little one-story building. It is pretty conspicuous, though, if you're driving along Grant Avenue. Built in 1919 for the Winnipeg Hydroelectric System, which, by the way, is now part of Manitoba Hydro, it was designed to distribute electricity to the local homes and businesses. But it was also significant because it was the starting point for the first high-voltage transmission line to rural Manitoba. And, of course, now everybody gets their power from Manitoba Hydro, but back then, that was a rarity.
Cool. That's quite an interesting list, Gordon. Do you think it's going to be accepted by the City of Winnipeg?
Well, I understand that the city will merge the Manitoba Historical Society list with those from other heritage organizations. Buildings on this grand list will be organized by age, by location, by the original use of the building, and probably other criteria. The city is interested in recognizing themes in local history that are underrepresented by their present list of designated structures. I think our list does just that. And so I'm hopeful that many of our suggestions will be accepted, but I do expect that the process of evaluation will take several years. So I'm not expecting an answer anytime soon.
Well, I'm going to be looking at these locations very differently when I pass by them. What's up for next week, Gordon?
We're going to talk about a group that's related to Manitoba history I suspect most of our listeners have never heard of. The group, established by the provincial government in 1946, was called the Historic Sites Advisory Board of Manitoba. Next week, I'll describe what this group was and what it did. And I'll address the question, does it exist today?
Thanks so much, Gordon.
We'll talk next week. Bye-bye for now.
No matter where I go, every time the wind blows, puts me back in Manitoba. Many moons.